This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher here with you. And I got to say, I'm kind of getting into a rhythm, starting to feel like fall a little bit. I know it's doing Zoom press conferences, but I'm talking to Illinois football players, some coaches, kind of on the regular. It's going to be more on the regular as we come up here. The content's a little bit easier. I'm doing preseason stuff on the site. You can check out, I just posted the position primer for wide receivers today. And we're going to talk more about that here on the podcast. It's exciting. It's just exciting to have this all coming together and that we could have Big Ten football here very soon. Just an update on that. Illinois has been practicing, but they've been practicing just helmets, a lot of 7-on-7, stuff like that, a lot of technique. No official word on when padded practice or training camp, as they're calling it, will start. They're still waiting on the daily antigen testing for all that to kind of get into place, get all those protocols ready, because Illinois is still doing those saliva tests. So they're still waiting on all of that, but it sounds like Monday is the hope that they can start getting into pads and really gearing up for a season. But that would be 4 weeks. You'd have 4 weeks leading up to Wisconsin, which is what the normal training camp would be. So we're right there. We're right there to kind of getting into a rhythm, a different rhythm. We won't be able to see practice, sadly, so not able to give you some of those practice reports that we love so much. But we are going to be able to talk to the Illinois players, coaches, and Illinois is doing a really good job of giving us access to those guys so that they can get you guys ready for the football season as well. And we're doing that here on the podcast by getting some experts to break down each position. I had a great time with Riley O'Toole talking quarterbacks. If you didn't, go listen to that one. Riley had great insight on Brandon Peters, what he thought of Matt Robinson, who I think we overlook a little bit, and what he thinks Isaiah Williams can accomplish with Illinois now and in the future. So go back, listen to that one. Going to have a running backs podcast here very shortly with Dre Brown. Excited to do that one. But today, a fan favorite. Yeah, I know some of his career, you know, it's kind of a what if, but one of my favorite guys to cover, one of my favorite guys that I've covered at Illinois, and just a really great dude. Mike Dudek is someone you'd want to hire, and he's doing well, it sounds like, out there in the real world. But I caught up with Mike Dudek, the freshman sensation when Illinois made a bowl game in 2014. And of course, he had a lot of injuries after that, but a fan favorite. Caught up with Mike to break down what he saw out of Josh Matorbebe and his breakout season with Illinois. Also, a fellow Niqua grad who was a big, big positive of the Illinois season last year, which really wasn't a positive for the receiver group, partly due to injuries and partly due to lack of depth after those injuries occurred. So I talked to Mike about that. The transfers coming in, talk a little bit about the tight ends position, Trayvon Sidney, who we didn't get to see a lot about, but what he thinks Rod Smith can do in year three. Mike was a part of Rod Smith's offense for 1 year. I talked to him about what he thinks Rod Smith's team is capable of with an improved roster with these additions at wide receiver. That conversation with Mike Dudek coming up next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Illini Inquirer podcast, and glad to catch up with some former Illini. Talk some quarterbacks with Riley O'Toole. Going to talk some running backs with Dre Brown, and kind of part of that group has had success with those guys. I thought of one name when I thought of talking wide receivers, and I know this guy pays attention to the program because he was on the Wisconsin sideline celebrating, I think, as hard as some of the players were on the field. It's Mike Dudek. Mike, thanks for joining me, man. How are you?
Good. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, Mike, I just want to ask you, first of all, update people with what you've been up to. What are you doing now that you've moved on from the university for you?
Yeah, so it's crazy to believe it's coming up on 2 years since, I left school. And I lived at home for a year and just moved out to Chicago, downtown in the city. And I'm working at a wealth management firm called Mariner Wealth Advisors. And I'm enjoying it a lot. There's days where I do miss playing football, but, I'm very happy with, everything and where I'm at in my life right now.
Yeah, Mike, I know it's been a different transition for you because you just haven't been able, weren't able to play as much football as you wanted, but what is that transition like to go from, like, what is Dre going through right now? Like, and how do you kind of go through that process?
Yeah, it's tough. There's physically you feel a lot better, but just, mentally, there's definitely ups and downs. And, this first season will be tough for Dre, and just because you're so used to, every Saturday you have a game, you have practice the whole week, like football, your life really revolves around football. And now that, you don't have it anymore, it revolves around working the old 9 to 5, which, it's fun because there's some competitiveness to it, but there's nothing like being out there on Saturdays with packed stadiums, playing the game that you love. So for me, it was just, like I said, a huge roller coaster that first season. But I felt like the first season would be the toughest, just because you still know everybody on the team, you still know all the coaches, you still feel really connected and a part of the program. So now that I'm going into my second season of not being on the team, although it is a little different, as you and I were talking before earlier. It'll be, interesting to see how I feel, come game one.
Well, Mike, I'm wondering, since you mentioned it, how does your body feel after the wear and tear you took, of course, but I'm thinking for anybody, but for you yourself, how does your body feel? Like, how do you get, I'm sure you still stay in shape because it's just been part of your life for so long, but what is that feeling like day to day?
Yeah. Like you said, I have been staying in shape, not really football shape. I have lost some weight cause I don't hit the weight room as hard as I used to. It's a little more cardio now, a little lighter weights.
Not squatting but, 500 anymore.
I don't think I've squatted since I got done playing football. I do leg day, but just don't put the bar on my back just cause my knees are still not 100%.
Right.
But, I'm staying in shape. My body feels okay. Feels good. I mean, there's some days definitely, if I, go on a plane or I'm in a long car ride where I'm sitting down for a while that, when I stand up, I'll have to do some stretches with my knees just cause they get super tight or even still swollen, from time to time. So, I'm definitely still dealing with a little bit of the, after effects of all those knee surgeries, all those knee issues that I had, but, it's definitely feels night and day compared to when I was playing.
Well, Mike, what was it like for you last year? I mean, being on the field for that Wisconsin game, but then seeing them actually use that and create some momentum for the program. What was that like for you who put so much time to try and build a foundation that these guys could build off?
It was huge. I mean, that's that Wisconsin win, that's a staple win for our program. It's one that'll be talked about for a very long time. And, it was due, just being in that program for 5 years, knowing, how hard everybody worked, despite, the negative outcomes that we received, more often than not on those Saturdays, it takes a toll on you. So whenever you can, get a win against a top five or top 10 program, it really, one thing, it's momentum, you get momentum going into the next few weeks, and then confidence, because confidence is everything in college football. And, once a team learns how to win and get that confidence, and the train's on the track, there's not much that can stop them. And you know, we saw that going into the later part of the year last year, just after that win, how much better, you know, the team looked week in and week out. It was pretty incredible to see. So I'm hoping, you know, they can build off that going into this year.
One thing I'm hoping for this wide receiver room, Mike, is it feels like they haven't gotten a lot of health here recently. And you're, of course, including that. I know Malik Turner's last year had some injuries. Ricky's had some injuries here last year. But, I mean, Trayvon Sidney goes down. Ricky goes down. Even Bebe missed a couple games. But they did add a lot of depth. So I'm looking forward to getting you some of your thoughts about this receiver room. But first of all, Ricky Smalling departs the program. And he was one of the more productive receivers of this last decade for Illinois. So what's that loss mean for the Illini?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, I'm pretty sure Ricky started almost every single game while he was here. And, you know, he has that experience. It's tough to mimic experience. You know, you can have an all-world player come in as a freshman, but, you know, if he doesn't have 2-3 years of experience, there is a big learning curve, you know, jump into playing these, you know, Big Ten schools week in and week out. So just, you know, losing a leader in the locker room and a guy who played a ton, it's tough, you know, but it's also something that, you know, you can't dwell on as a team, as a coach, or as a room, because, you know, stuff like that happens to every program, you know, across the country, from, you know, middle school to the NFL. You know, it's always just, when that does happen, it's just next man up mentality. And, you know, thankfully this room does have some depth. They do have some guys now that have played and, you know, got a few seasons under their belt. So, you know, I think they will still do just fine this year.
I mean, one huge positive out of this group and outside those injuries was Josh Amatorbebe. We knew he was talented, Mike, coming from USC, former four-star prospect. But watching what he did last year, what impressed you the most about Bebe?
I think just, you know, his big play ability. You know, you put 100 guys out there and tell them to catch a ball, 99% of them are going to catch a ball. But, you know, when you tell a guy to, you know, jump over somebody and catch it on 4th-and-17 or whatever that was against Michigan State, that's, you know, that's something that's extremely special. And, you know, you can't teach that. You know, someone either has it or they don't. And, you know, just seeing some of those plays he made last year, they were incredible. I mean, it seemed like every other game he was having a huge play or a huge touchdown, you know, to ultimately, you know, win us the game. So I'm definitely glad he's on our team. I know you've probably seen a bunch of his training videos where he's jumping, and, you know, I've never seen anything like that. So, you know, it's pretty cool when it can translate to the field.
What was your best vertical, Mike? Because he hits 46, I think.
Yeah, and I was not near that. You know, I think the most I've ever hit, or the highest I've ever hit, excuse me, was probably around 40 inches.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Decent.
We saw you get up for some of those. But what is his next step? Because obviously he's put himself on NFL draft radars, but he said he thinks he can show more. So in a second year where he's going to get a lot of playing time, it's just really the second year he'll have that in college. What are the things you think he can clean up?
I mean, there's always things to clean up, especially, you know, like polishing the route running, separation when you're coming out of breaks. And, you know, we saw a lot of deep balls caught by him, which was, you know, one of the hardest catches to make. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see if we get him more involved with, you know, short game this year, whether it's hitch routes, in routes, you know, comebacks. Mm-hmm. Now that he's in his second year in the program and, you know, we have a second year guy in quarterback and, excuse me, I can't think of his name right now.
Peters,
but, you know, it'll be interesting to see some of the stuff that, you know, Rod Smith will roll out for him. But I think just polishing up his route running and, you know, learning to get out of breaks fast.
What was it like for you, Mike, to watch another Neuqua Valley product do what Donnie Navarro did as a walk-on?
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, I remember watching him in high school and I was like, man, like he's really good. And, you know, we were trying to get him to come out of high school as a preferred walk-on, but he went to Valpo and did really well there. And then, you know, he ended up at Illinois, and as everybody saw last year, he had a very productive season in the slot. He made a lot of big plays, and it's cool for me, you know, because anytime someone from your high school, you know, comes to the program, you want to take them under your wing and, you know, make sure that it's as smooth as possible for them. And you know, that's kind of what I tried to do with Donnie, but, you know, he came in extremely mature, just put his head down, willing to work, knowing that, you know, cause he was a walk-on, he was going to have to work, you know, 10 times harder than a guy who's coming in on a scholarship. And, you know, he did that and earned his scholarship. And, you know, I think he earned every bit of it.
I mean, obviously he's not the biggest guy, and I wouldn't say he's the fastest guy straight line. So what makes him so effective, Mike?
I think just his knowledge of the game. You know, there's, you see guys all the time, you know, that aren't fast, or they are fast, but relative, and, right. you know, are shorter stature, and, you know, they just get open and they're quarterback friendly. They know where to, you know, find the spots in the zones, or, you know, where to break on an out route and where to break on an in route. And, you know, that's what I see out of Donnie. You know, he works the slot really well, and that goes back to all his preparation, you know, going into the games, because, you know, the little tendencies by DBs that you can read from watching film, you know, will give you those 2-3 yards of separation. And, you know, it's definitely showing for Donnie, for a guy who's, you know, probably not the fastest out there, and he's able to get open.
One guy we didn't get to see a lot of, Mike, that I thought out of all the non-quarterback transfers could have made the biggest impact of the transfers, was Trayvon Sidney. He had a great first week of camp. Again, one of those guys who just gets open and has great hands. But he kind of got hurt in camp, and then he got hurt with that hamstring tear in the Minnesota game. Did you get a good look at him, or what do you think he could add if he is healthy?
Yeah, you know, I just, you know, watching some videos that, you know, you post from camp and whatnot, that was mostly all I saw of him. You know, he had a little action early on in those first few games, but, you know, just watching some of his, you know, even high school film and, you know, some of his training videos, he definitely has, you know, a lot of talent. And I'm excited to see how, you know, Rod Smith uses him this year, because I think he does add a whole nother, you know, package to this offense that we can use just with his quickness, you know, his ability to get open and his ability to make big plays. So, you know, I'm excited to see him. Hopefully, you know, he has a complete healthy season, and we can get a look at, you know, how good he really is.
Just a broad question. The slot wide receiver in a spread offense, but even if you know more about Rod's offense, what does that position do for an offense when you do have an impact player there? Or what is the goal with that position?
Yeah, you know, when I was there, I was primarily working in the slot, and I only had a few months with Coach Smith. And, you know, they use him a ton, and the offense can be extremely better when, you know, you do have a slot that fits the mold of the offense, just a, you know, quick guy who can get open. You can give him the ball in jet sweeps, really in every down, you know, type of player. And it adds another, you know, running effect to the game, because, you know, if you can throw him a quick out, or you could throw him a bubble route for 5 yards, you know, that's as good as, you know, handing the ball to the running back for a 5 yard gain. So, you know, I wish I had, you know, more seasons in, you know, Coach Smith's offense, because it's a fun position, a fun offense for the slot position.
They're obviously looking for somebody to step up to take that spot that Ricky leaves. Casey Washington was a true freshman who played 5 games. I think we saw some flashes. He made a big first down catch against Wisconsin. I know it's a small sample, but he's a true freshman. But did you get any, glean any thoughts from his freshman year?
Yeah, you know, I thought he surprised a lot of people, you know, myself included. It's tough coming in as a freshman, because, like I said, it's a huge learning curve. And, you know, Casey came in and I thought he did really well. You know, I've met him a few times. He seems like a, you know, very mature kid from what I could tell. And he stepped up big time, you know, with the injuries. Like I said earlier, it's next man up. And, you know, he stepped up, made some huge catches. I believe he had a big one against Wisconsin and maybe even Michigan as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm excited to see his jump from year one to year two. Not only from a developmental standpoint, but from a confidence standpoint, because, you know, I think he could shock some people and have a really big year.
And then they added depth. I think they saw that depth got kind of exposed last year with all those injuries, and they've added three transfer guys. Former four-star prospect Brian Hightower out of Miami, Kamari Thompson, who's a track athlete at Missouri. So he's got speed, and he's 6'2", 220. And then Desmond Dan, who played at New Mexico State. What do you think about them kind of building up through that transfer portal at the wide receiver position? I guess we can hope they can find another Bebe, but I don't know if they can expect that again, Mike.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's tough to expect that again. But Brian Hightower, you know, he had a ton of offers coming out of high school. I think he's going to do really well. He's a big kid. He goes up and gets the ball. He's fast. So I'm excited to see him. But just, you know, adding depth through the transfer portal is huge for a program like Illinois, because, you know, we are still building. It's not like, you know, another powerhouse in the Big Ten where, you know, it seems like they're adding, you know, five-star receivers year in and year out. And, you know, they put them on the practice team for, you know, a couple of years, and then they come in, start, and, you know, get drafted in the first round. That's the type of depth that they have. And, you know, we don't have that yet. So it's important that, you know, we do get some guys in there with some playing experience. And, you know, just to make sure when a guy does go down, you know, we have a guy that we can place in there and, you know, not have to worry about the mental mistakes or them not living up to, you know, what's expected in this offense.
One more factor before I let you go, Mike, that I'm thinking about is, I know what you had several offensive coordinators, you had several starting quarterbacks. What's it mean for this group of wideouts, even the quarterback and offensive coordinator, that you've been in the system now? This is the third year of this system. The quarterback is coming back for his second year in Brandon Peters. What's that mean for this wide receiver group?
It's huge. I mean, especially, I think the most excited person is Rod Smith, you know, just being able to open up the playbook and, you know, run whatever they want to run because he has the confidence in his quarterback. And then from receivers, you know, it's timing and all that is huge. And I did not have a solid starting quarterback while I was playing. And there is some adjustments that, you know, you need to make when, you know, if you have one quarterback for 3 weeks, another one for 3 weeks, mm-hmm. and then another one for 3 weeks, like it just throws off the timing and throws off the playbook in terms of what's going to be called. So I think just, you know, returning your number one receiver and returning your starting quarterback is huge for this offense. And, you know, I'm excited to see what Rod Smith will do this year with those guys.
What are your expectations, Mike, for this group? Because you had the tight ends. I didn't even mention the tight ends yet. Luke Ford, Daniel Matorbebe, and Daniel Barker, who I thought was really good last year. How do those guys impact the wideouts, by the way?
Yeah, you know, with Luke Ford, you know, I know he went to Georgia for a year and then transferred over, so I haven't seen much of him play. But, you know, I thought Daniel Barker did really well last year. You know, he came in, he was a little immature as a freshman, and I think he would admit that. So, you know, he took a big step up in year two, and you know, I thought he did really well. So that group as a whole, now that, you know, we have three guys in there that would play on majority of teams across the country, I think it adds a whole new, you know, lever to this offense in terms of what defenses are going to have to game plan for. Because, you know, when you have guy tight ends that can block and run out and pass catches, you know, that's what every offensive coordinator wants to have. So, you know, I think they're going to add a whole new dynamic this year with those three guys.
So what's like your realistic, like how big of a leap can this group make, assuming health, right? And I know this could be a weird 2020 season because everything has been this year. But I think the defense did its job. They got takeaways. They kind of led that thing last year. The offense, I thought, had good ball control at times, had a couple breakout performances late in games against Wisconsin, Michigan State. But what do you think this offense can be this year?
I think, you know, like you just mentioned, they had a couple breakout performances and they were a little inconsistent at time. So, you know, I truly believe that, especially now with this extra, you know, 2.5 months of planning for a game, I think they're going to be a lot more consistent this year. And you know, you'll see that from the top down. You know, the offensive line is going to be unreal. I think everybody, you know, knows that just with the, you know, experience and how good those guys were last year with, you know, majority of them coming back, is really going to protect, you know, Brandon Peters and the running backs and then the receivers. You know, they're just going to have to get open, because, you know, the line will do their job and it's up to them to win. So, you know, if they can win those one-on-one matchups and, you know, find the holes in the zone, which, you know, I think they will, being with this extra time and, you know, this added experience that they have in the group, I think we're going to see a lot more of a power consistent offense under Rod Smith.
Yeah, it feels like it's been leading up to this year for Rod. He feels like he's got the weapons that he wants in his arsenal. Mike Dudek, this was fun, man. Appreciate the insight, and hope you and the family are well. Say hello to your parents for me.
I will. Thanks for having me. It's always good to talk Illini football, so appreciate it.
Great stuff with Mike Dudek. Always enjoyed covering him. I wish for him and for all you Illini fans, I could have covered more games that Mike Dudek played in. But just a fantastic story and a fantastic young man and a great family that I got to know with Rick and Lynn throughout the years. Again, I wish I was covering a better story at times, but they were always great to me and just really, really nice people. So great stuff from Mike. I hope you're enjoying this, and we're going to have more. As I said, I'm going to talk with Dre Brown here shortly to preview the running backs. And I just caught up with Chase Brown and Mike Epstein, us media did today. I'm recording this on September 23rd and caught up with those guys today. I had my running back preview already, but you guys know I'm high on Chase Brown. I think he's going to make a big impact. Mike Epstein has made a big impact when he's been healthy. So if they're healthy at running back, I think they're going to be pretty good. Wide receiver is still a little bit of an unknown. Running back, I think some people from the outside would think it's an unknown, but Illinois feels good about its depth. You certainly feel better about the wide receiver depth this year. Didn't even mention that, you know, Kyron Cumbie's coming back for a second season, a redshirt freshman who was transitioning from high school running back to receiver. I think he's got potential eventually down the line to play, but, you know, Donnie Navarro, Trayvon Sidney are probably your top two guys there. Maybe Kyron Cumbie gets involved a little bit at some point. James Frenchie is a very talented freshman that maybe you don't need to count on, which in previous years you would have asked. A lot of people always ask about Edwin Carter because in 11 career reps, he had two amazing touchdowns against Western Illinois, catching those from MJ Rivers. But yeah, he sat out last year partly due to the injury, and I think he had another injury as well. But he's coming back. He's a wild card. We've seen a little bit. He's long. He's fast. But coming off that injury, he's just a little bit of an unknown. Plus, there's more depth in front of him with those transfers. And Dalevon Campbell is a really interesting prospect because he's 6'4", 205 pounds. He was considering being a track athlete at Houston, so he's definitely got the measurables, but pretty raw. Only played 5 games last year. So those guys I would think are more development guys. But you certainly just feel better about your wide receiver depth going into this year, even with losing Ricky Smalling. So if Trayvon Sidney has, you know, some ramifications of that injury last year, at least you know you have Donnie Navarro. You have Kyron Cumbie coming into a second year, right? And plus those tight ends get involved in the game. But on the perimeter, you got Josh Matorbebe. You know you have a number one wide receiver that likely will be in an NFL camp at least next year, right? And then Brian Hightower is a former 4-star prospect. Kamari Thompson was at an SEC team. He's got real speed. Desmond Dan has been a productive FBS wideout before. Casey Washington, I think really Illinois feels good about him for the long term. Those guys are all, you know, competing for reps rather than just counting on Casey Washington and then not knowing what you have behind them, right? So they definitely address that big, big need in the offseason. But there is a lot of unknown there. But a little less unknown than you could have had if you didn't add those transfers. So a good job by the Illinois staff doing that. I did see Phil Steele predicted the wide receivers to be the 8th best group in the Big Ten. I think that's a little bit of a bold call, but I think it's a possibility. I think they have enough talent to be that wide receiver. And as Mikey was talking about with Brandon Peters coming back, I think that's really important to have that kind of camaraderie, to have that kind of connection already in with a lot of these guys on the roster. So hope you're enjoying these position previews. We'll do more as we go along here, whittle these away, get you ready for kickoff of Illinois football season in a month from Thursday. So a month from tomorrow when I'm recording this. We're going to have an Illinois football game up at Wisconsin, assuming nothing else goes wrong in 2020 before then. So hopefully that is not the case, and hopefully we get to see a football game. Hopefully I get to be up there and cover it from Wisconsin for you, but either way, we'll cover the heck out of it. Again, we got Dre Brown talking running backs coming up on the podcast. Always appreciate listening to the podcast. Subscribe to us, rate us, review us wherever you get your podcast, and hope everybody's doing well. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo. Thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.